And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Today, we take a closer look at the news coming from around the world about what is happening on this great little planet Earth. We indulge ourselves in a reading for one of the new writers, and then we get into the hot seat and more when your voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Okay, it's official. 2007 is happening. Now, maybe just me, although I'm the guy who's always talking about what I'm thinking and feeling, it's what I do for a living, but something definitely feels different. I'm now older than many and younger than some, which is to say that I've been tracking on this thing called life for a while. As a matter of record, I was here in the 50s when Disney launched his first television show, I think it was Walt Disney Presents, which morphed into the wonderful world of Disney. I mention that to say that I grew up in a time of relative innocence, which I'm sure many would be happy to call ignorance, and to a large extent, that's probably what it was. The world seemed endless then. There were brave people heading off into the jungles of South America, and discovering primitive tribes which had never seen white people, as we were generally accepted to be then. Antarctica was a remote and frightening place of unbelievable cold and harshness, and when planes became lost in Wyoming or Alaska, it could take many days to find them. Men then still cut trees down in the vast forests with chainsaws, and the sound of crashing trees in the forest seemed to have significance. Felled trees, in some parts, were still floated to the mills and the rivers. But as I look at things then, the beginning of the modern era really began in about 1960. I'm one of four kids in my family. I have an older brother and a younger brother. We'd all been born by 1952. When I look back at photo albums of our family during the 50s, all the photos are in black and white. Now my sister came along in 1960. Almost all of the photos of her are in color. And such began the emergence of the modern era, when virtually all things began to become slicker, sleeker, cooler, noisier, bigger, faster, more managed, more controlled, more organized. It was about that time that the digital revolution was introduced, originally with punch cards and floors full of punch card operators. And the modern age exploded in a kind of contained nuclear explosion. And some wise souls then managed to see the handwriting on the forests and remote places, literally, and the environmental movement began in an effort to contain that explosion because, uncontrolled, such events could have global consequences. I've often felt that America follows a maturation process just like a living being, which in the case of America feels much more like a young male than a female. And as with any maturing male, we went through our youthful phase where we knew more than everyone else. We were cocksure of what we could do, and we just went ahead and did it, despite some of the warnings from our elders, like those old world leaders from Europe, who had a bit more experience in these things. We have the legacy of Vietnam to show for it, and amazingly, unlike most maturing beings who learn to temper their enthusiasm and bravado as they grow older, perhaps because we have been following along with a president who carried a bit too much of that Texas concept of bigger, better, meaner, and never to be outdone, we find ourselves reliving the same mistake, this time in Iraq. So what's all this have to do with today's show? Well, I get the sense that something is different, as I said. That we as a nation are maturing, that is, realizing our limitations, acknowledging that we are, after all, becoming one of those older nations, having made a few mistakes along the way. maybe slowing down just a bit, willing to talk more, become a bit more diplomatic, and get to work taking care of ourselves more and trying to change the world a lot less. But here's the rub. In 2007, we're also beginning to hear a lot of stories coming from all around the world that we, as a world of people, have blustered our way into a tough situation. We've taken all these modern, emerging technologies and applied them in ever greater and powerful forms at digging, pushing, ripping, tearing, bulldozing, exploding, leveling, developing, and transforming the world to the point that we've just plain gone too far. And so during the first segment, I'm going to be reading a series of news reports from around the world about what is happening to the diversity of life on planet Earth. And I don't want to scare people, but because we're beginning to move into our maturing years, we need to acknowledge what we've done that will be affecting our years ahead. What should have been our golden age is beginning to look fairly bleak, at least in some respects. Not hopeless or destined to ruin, but becoming limited. And maybe the acceptance of those limitations is a sign of real maturity. And because I sense we're more willing to face the truth about our future, coming up are some of the details. Now in segment two, we switch medium just a bit. The Wildside News features the voices of the Earth. We've talked with over 250 great people over the years, but there's another kind of voice. Anyone who writes, and certainly all of us who find the time to read, realize the different ways in which the written word is crafted and perceived. So in segment two, I'm going to read a segment from a book, as I hope to do more of in the months ahead. I'll be reading a portion from a book called All My Relations by Susan Chernek McElroy. And then living in San Diego here, I'm following the football playoffs quite carefully because the San Diego Chargers are considered one of the top teams. And so as these playoffs continue in earnest, and some of you will actually be attending games, I'm going to start out segment three with a great new idea for enjoying sitting on those cold benches, but as well those cold fishing boats or outdoors on a chilly evening. And from there, we take a look at a few other great outdoor products that will make your outdoor experiences even more terrific. So with an expanded version of the news, we offer some thoughts about our future, as told in the stories coming from around our planet. So now, the news. Story 1. Global warming will continue to make news in 2007, as it did recently when the National Climatic Data Center reported that last year was the warmest on record in the continental U.S. It attributed this to a continuation of the natural El Niño cycle and to the warming effects associated with greenhouse gases, which have been increasing due to humanity's presence on Earth. Now, of course, most of us all agree, yep, that's the way it is. 2006's average temperature was 55 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 2.2 degrees above the average for the last 100 years. As well, the last 9 years have all been among the 25 warmest years on record. And 2006 is expected to end up in either third or fourth warmest on record. Now some Wildside News projections for Story 1. Yes, global warming will continue. However, as the general changes will tend to be gradual through time, industrial societies will literally migrate to higher ground and accommodate to changing food availability through dietary change. In many cases, people will welcome a warming trend. Certainly those who live in Southern California are not considered suffering as a result of a balmy and warmer climate than, say, Chicago. In various underdeveloped areas around the world, coastal populations will also pick up and move, which in many cases is easier to do than in more heavily industrialized civilizations. Desertification, which is a hard word to say, and which seems to be increasing in some areas, particularly in China, will continue, but may be offset by general increases in productivity as growing seasons increase. Certain species will be impacted. Most significantly is the polar bear, which has developed seasonal behaviors which are highly dependent on extensive ice shelves. Will they perish? In actuality, probably not. Animals are not just stupid. As changes occur to their traditional ways, animals will tend to adapt, to move, to find new sources of food. Will some be stranded and die? Sure. But others will find their way to new food sources. Will polar bears become extinct as a result? Very likely not, particularly if there is a concerted human effort to assist the animals. Polar bears actually live in small communities which have traditionally had to adapt to changing populations of prey species. So by helping individuals and small communities of animals, will actually help keep the entire species alive. All in all, global warming has a long way to go before it becomes life-threatening or a global disaster. And unless we are all virtually retarded, we will make appropriate changes to deal with these changes through time. It might be smart for us to plan to move as appropriate. After all, most of us have moved many times in our lifetimes, and in many cases it was a matter of choice. And to be honest, more people are moving to warmer climates than the other way around. So the Wild Side News thinks we do not need to get bent out of shape and predict death and destruction due to global warming. Time will tell. Story 2. Opponents of oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge are planning to introduce legislation which would permanently ban such by setting aside 1.2 million acres along the coastal strip as a permanent wilderness. After more than six successful attempts by the House of Representatives to authorize oil and gas drilling, this was countered by defeats each time in the Senate, this hotly contested issue just may find the support it needs to once and for all, or so one might hope anyway, give this area back to its native inhabitants, especially the caribou and elk, not to mention hundreds of species which rely on this habitat for their survival. Wildside News projections. ANWR will not become a wilderness area in 2007, and likely not in 2008, as such designation requires a vote of 60 in the Senate to succeed, and those votes are not there yet. However, efforts to continue to introduce pro-drilling legislation will cease for a while, as the current administration begins to be scrutinized in both the House and the Senate, and will find itself increasingly having to focus on maintaining its power in light of increasing revelations of less than acceptable policies and practices. With each passing year, renewable technologies, which will include solar, biofuels, and wind, will be partnering with new transportation and energy technological breakthroughs, such as very functional and increasingly affordable electric cars, and a revolutionary integration of breakthroughs and inventions to create a national will to move in that direction, and thereby fizzle away this historic claim that the oil under ANWR is critical to our economic well-being and our vital national security. A new energy age is destined to change our future. Story 3. President Bush on Tuesday lifted the drilling ban for Alaska's Bristol Bay, thereby opening up the possibility for oil and gas development in this fish-rich area. Pressures by Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska, a man who cannot imagine that there is any place on Earth that would not benefit from more oil and gas wells, managed to get a 16-year ban on fishing in Bristol Bay lifted as one of the last acts of the 2006 Congress. Newly appointed Interior Secretary Kemp Thorne has acknowledged that, yes, there likely will be oil and gas leases given out. The Wildside News projections. The new battle that will be emerging within the next 5 years will have to do with fishing in all of its myriad manifestations, which will dredge up some muck about bottom dredging, large-scale floating fishing factories, and in particular, whaling. New pressures will be emerging from various large fishing players, particularly China, which relies heavily on fish for its protein. As projections of the ultimate collapse of the ocean somewhere between 2040 and 2050 emerge, China will likely become a worldwide leader in helping to establish large fish sanctuaries, as that is the only viable solution to restore fish supplies and maintain a viable supply of fish to its people. However, the efforts to restore the oceans will emerge as perhaps the singular most significant worldwide conservation effort within the next 20 years. Along with that will come a global awareness that maintaining diversity of as many species as possible is the most realistic and worthwhile solution to general sustainability of life on this earth. Will such a crusade succeed? It really depends on the crusaders themselves, which should include all people on earth. And story 4. Oil exploration in the Congo Republic by the French company Morel and Prom, within the confines of the world's most diverse ecological zone, is getting a lot of people very upset, as it is in direct violation of protections set up to protect some of the world's most advanced creatures, including mandrills, gorillas, and chimpanzees. Relying on massive seismic explosions to chart the underground supplies of oil, the company makes claims that because these are conducted completely underground, they cannot harm the animals. And of course, new roads, tracks, and bridges accompany the exploration, which is creating easy access by poachers and resulting in a direct increase in killings of the park's native species. Bottom line, Morel and Prom are making the most of their access with accompanying denials of the direct secondary and tertiary effects on the wildlife of the park. Wildside News projections. Besides amphibians and fish, both of which have reached a momentum of decline that may just plain be unstoppable, the plight of the wild primates is possibly only years away from being catastrophic. These large mammals have relied on vast stretches of forests and jungles and the ability to roam and intermix with a large population of their kind to maintain their highly complex social and behavioral integrity. As their homelands have been decimated by commercial deforestation, the penetration of their societies by humans, vehicles, roads, and poachers, hungry bushmeat eaters, trophy hunters, disease, Ebola-type pandemics, and more, they face the essential destruction of their life and spirit. And unless humanity responds immediately with every resource and goodwill available, we will likely see the global disappearance of these species in the wild. What is most alarming is that most of these changes have occurred during what I referred to earlier as the modern age. If we are maturing as a people here and around the world, here in 2007, and if we humans are the species that not only has the capacity to show real compassion, to the extent that we can talk about it, write about it, sing and build religious tenets about it, we should be compelled to make the immediate worldwide response to save these loving, caring, frightened, and dispirited beings, or we will have sold a portion of our cosmic souls to the dark forces that destroy the God-given wonder of such sentient and soul-filled creatures. In our history as the human species, the intelligent being, this just may be the most hideous act of arrogance that God will ever record. And that's the news. So it's just possible we are growing up. All we baby boomers who set out to change the world are now perhaps facing the truth that we now have to fix it. Just like us, this world is a bit out of shape. Time to exercise what wisdom we have left. So when we return, we take a reading break when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wildside News.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.